This evening, we find ourselves in Psalm 119, verse 83. So if you take your copy of God's Holy Word, turn to the 119th Psalm. Places us inside the 11th stanza of this acrostic psalm. This stanza is brought to you by the letter Kaf, which is the 11th of 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And verse 83 reads, "For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes." Now let's look to the Lord and ask his help and guidance this evening in our time together. Blessed be your name, O Lord our God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is good for us to be here together tonight, that we might call on the exalted name of the Lord, to seek his face, to give praise and thanksgiving to the one true and living God who is worthy of all of our love and gratitude. We pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of truth and grace to be upon us as we hear your word and as we pray together as a church. We pray now and ask these things in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we've seen recently how the psalmist has come under affliction, which he cries out to the Lord for seeking deliverance. And in verse 81, the opening of this stanza, he writes, "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." In verse 82, he says, "My eyes long for your promise. And I ask, when will you comfort me?" And then in verse 84, "How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me?" So it would seem obvious that the psalmist was undergoing a season of trial, a time of testing, troubles, struggles, afflictions, and no matter how painful or pressing the trials and afflictions might have been, it does not diminish his regard for the Lord or the Lord's word. And looking here at Psalm 119, verse 83, there are two points that we'll consider this evening. The first is his condition described, and then the second will be his resolution declared. So his condition described here, he describes it like this: "I become like a wineskin in the smoke." And that's a real vivid picture of the misery that the psalmist was enduring. He compares it to a wineskin in the smoke. And it would appear that not only were his patience and hope drained, but even his very body was dried up because of this season, and perhaps it was a very long season of affliction. We've recently looked at and considered wineskins in Luke, because Jesus said not to put new wine into old wineskins, and the problem that would result. And wineskins were a leather vessel or container made of animal hide used to carry certain liquids. And the most common would be water, milk, or wine. And it has multiple uses, obviously, in Scripture. In Genesis 21:14. We see wineskins being used for water. It says, "Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder." In Judges 4:19, when the commander Sisera said to the woman Jael, who, as you know, had a tent peg in one hand, a hammer in the other, give me something to drink. He said, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. It says she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And so she had a wineskin with milk. And then in 1 Samuel 16:20, there we are told Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David his son to Saul. So wineskins would hold milk, water, wine, any other possible liquids. And the psalmist is likening it to a wineskin that would have been hung up perhaps somewhere by a chimney where there would be smoke that would perhaps dry it out, and over time the heat and the smoke would crack it and would blacken its condition and reduce its usefulness. So the psalmist compares himself to that, and it's the fitting emblem of his condition. How many of you can relate to that? It's not something that we often think about or use. You know, we see a friend maybe at church on a Sunday morning. How are you doing? Oh, I'm like a wineskin in the smoke. You're like, excuse me, what? No, it's hard to relate to today, but it is someone who has been through extreme suffering, heat, affliction, pressure. It's to be under such turmoil that it reduces your physical strength. Maybe you can relate to that. You've been worried, you've been concerned, you've had struggles, problems, maybe financial issues, other concerns, and it's affecting your health. They say you can get ulcers and other physical ailments from certain mental or, in this case, very likely spiritual issues. So there is this connection between the mind and the body. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And in Psalm 22:15, the psalmist says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. In Psalm 32:3-4, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And Job is the classic example of someone who would be like a wineskin in the smoke. Job 16, verse 7 and 8, surely now God has worn me out. He has made desolate all my company, and he has shriveled me up, which is a witness against me, and my leanness has risen up against me. It testifies to my face. And so the psalmist is describing the physical condition that he was suffering. Thomas Manton says, a bottle in the smoke or wineskin is blackened and smudged, whereby is meant that his beauty was wasted as well as his strength, and as he was withered, so he was black with extreme misery, as Job 30, verse 30 says, my skin is black upon me, my bones are burnt with heat. Well, that's the mark of the rod of God's chastening hand that it can leave upon the physical body. It's just sapped of strength and vitality. Grief in the heart, sorrow of the mind can have a withering effect on the body, which sympathizes with the heart and mind. And so when the Lord deals with us for our sin or for our sanctification, there are times that He will put us through a furnace of affliction in order to purify us as gold. And I'm sure many of you know what I'm referring to. Job could say in Job 23:10, when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. And 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, he writes, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the psalmist here in verse 83 is comparing his physical condition to a dried up wineskin that has been in the smoke, and the psalmist has been put through the smoke of affliction, trial, trouble, and suffering. Roberta and I have been reading this book by Thomas Boston. It's called The Crook in the Lot. And it's based on Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 13. I'd ask you to just turn there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13. In verse 13, it says, consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? Okay, so you thought maybe the crook in the lot was about some burglar behind Walmart. The crook in the lot is the bend that God makes in our lot in life. And the question is, who can straighten out what God has made crooked? And it is helpful to be mindful of the providence of God and his dealing in our lives, certain afflictions or problems that may come upon us unexpectedly, undesirably, and we can't fix it. We can't straighten them out. And we are forced to carry that cross, to go through that furnace of affliction, to deal with those struggles and problems, pains and sufferings, so long as God is pleased to make our lot crooked. And so we're to consider the work of God and see the hand behind the affliction and kiss the rod and the one who appointed it. And verse 14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. So when times are good, praise the Lord. When times are bad, consider that God has given both the good times and the bad. They are from the hand of God. And we are to acknowledge that, and we are to be mindful of that, sensitive to that, and seek to always serve God, honor his authority over it, and the providential unfolding of our lives. So that's the condition described here by the psalmist, and that brings us to the second point, the resolution declared. Okay, so he's saying, I become like a wineskin in the smoke, however, I have not forgotten your statutes. And we've seen through this psalm that the term law, statutes, precepts are really synonymous to the word of God. And so... while he might be like a wineskin in the smoke, his strength is all dried up. He feels like he's all shriveled up. He has not forgotten the statutes of God, the law of God, the word of God. And like Christian in Doubting Castle, he holds fast the key of promise. The key is in his bosom, and he uses it to be set free. And even though this man, the psalmist, was under severe affliction, leading to extreme physical suffering and withering, his hold upon the word of God never wavered. In fact, if anything, it probably became even tighter. And there's an important lesson for us here in this text, and that is when we go through struggles, notice I didn't say if we go, but when we go through struggles, it should drive us deeper into the Word of God to find comfort, to find guidance, to get assurance, to get wisdom and understanding. And so the psalmist is saying, in spite of all that has happened to me in my condition, I'm just sapped and drained, I have not forgotten your statutes. And we see that the hold on the word of God by the psalmist never wavered. And we see this elsewhere in this psalm, in Psalm 119, verse 61. There he says, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. In verse 109, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. And then in verse 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. So Charles Spurgeon said, here is the patience of the saints and the victory of faith. The worst circumstances cannot destroy the true believer's hold upon his God. I think that's part of the encouragement that the believer can have in the midst of the storm of the smoke and the heat of the fire, is that your strength, your physical health, your finances may all be taken from you, may be drained away, but the word of God cannot be taken from you. And that is the anchor in the midst of the storm. Spurgeon says, grace is a living power which survives that which would suffocate all other forms of existence. Fire cannot consume it, and smoke cannot smother it. Like Job, a man may be reduced to skin and bone, and all his comfort may be dried out of him, and yet he may still hold fast his integrity and glorify his God. Leviticus 20 and verse 7 and 8 tells us, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them, for I am the Lord who sanctifies you. The Lord who sanctifies you is Jehovah Makadesh in Hebrew, the God who makes us holy. And Thomas Manton said, how great soever our trials may be, they should not weaken our love to God and our respect to his word. God's precepts must not be forgotten, though we may be withered and dried up with sorrows. By forgetting God's precepts, we put away our own comfort from ourselves and make our afflictions the more grievous. Take the word precepts here, either strictly for his commandments or statutes, or more largely, it may also include his promises. Manton uses precepts. I think that's based on the King James. The ESV uses the word statutes. And he's saying, you know, it could be narrow just for the commandments, or it could be the promises of God, or even broader, the word of God. But he's saying if any faint and fail in trouble, it's because they do not trust the promises or keep the commandments of God. And these two mutually strengthen one another. So if you would not have your faith broken, labor to keep the commandments. God in good time will send help and deliverance. If we remember to plead the promise, God will remember to fulfill the promise. And those who are not unmindful of their duty, God will not be unmindful of their safety. So I think that is helpful for us to always keep our focus upon the Lord, that the Word of God is our compass in the storm of trials, temptations, and afflictions. Hebrews 12, 11 and following gives us some encouragement. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. And in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, we are pointed to Christ, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So that is the greatest comfort and confidence we have in our times of trial, when we go through the smoke of the furnace that might sap our strength, is to look to Christ, that he has gone before us, that he went to the cross on our behalf, that he took away our sin and shame, and in Christ we can have confidence to go through whatever afflictions this world may throw at us. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray.